day, and people come from miles around just to hear me play. My trumpet, they love to hear my trumpet. Da 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 da.
I'm a fine musician and I get lots of play. When I play my tuba, people throw money my way. My tuba, they love to hear my tuba. Oompa, 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 oompa.
I am a fine musician, my music is so gay, and everybody dances when they hear me play. My trombone, they love to hear my trombone. Da 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 da.
Children follow me when they hear me play. My piccolo, they love to hear my piccolo. Diddle dee 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 dee. We'll show you the way. Come join us, just take a part and join us.
All right, it's that time of year I find all the Christmas episodes I could possibly find on television. I love these yes. episodes. And if you've got one you'd like to share, you'd like to stump Roger or guest producer Ben, you can call or text us 312-981-7200. That was the Dick Van Dyke Show from 1963, Alan Brady Presents, where they were all... what do they call it? They were
toy soldiers.
Yeah, toy soldiers. Absolutely classic. That's probably one of my personal favorites. What would you say? I'm going to go to the earlier days, like in the 1950s, 60s.
Oh, gosh, I can't even think back that far.
All right, here, I got a couple for you here that we're going to try to squeeze in. I Love Lucy had a Christmas episode. They air it every year. By the way, Carl Reiner joining us next week.
No way.
Yeah, this guy I've talked to the most in my 7 years doing this is he called me and reached out again this week and left me a message and said,
Colby,
hey, we've got two new Dick Van Dyke shows in color that we're doing, and then there was an HBO special on aging that he did with like Betty White and Mel Brooks that's being released on DVD. It was released, it was out about a year ago. But he's like, yeah, I want to talk about this. What do you got time for me? You got time for me next week? I'm like,
this is fantastic.
Of course I have time for you, for God's sake. So we're going to do that next week. But okay. I Love Lucy had a Christmas episode that they air every year on CBS. Mm-hmm. Not that great. I mean, it was okay. You know, it was done without a live audience. And what they did was it was the first sitcom or TV show ever to do flashbacks, where they look back at the best moments of the series during that show. And we talked to Little Ricky about this, I think, 2 years ago. We had him on.
Keith Thibodeau. I remember. Yeah.
He's the last guy standing, you know, and all that, and talked about working with Lucy. Here's just a little bit of that I Love Lucy episode.
Cascabeles, llenos de alegría. Oh, what fun is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, yeah.
I don't know what's happened to my voice lately. I don't seem to sing well anymore.
Lately?
Anymore?
But it was a bunch of flashbacks of the baby being born and all that.
Yeah.
The Honeymooners. This was an absolute classic. This is a must-watch for me every single year. 1955, it was when Ralph hocks his new bowling ball to buy Alice a really crappy present anyway. But here is a segment where... Ralph and Norton are exchanging their gifts.
What do you got behind your back?
I got a Christmas present for you.
Oh, well, hand it over.
Huh?
I say hand it over.
Ain't you got nothing for me?
Yes, I've got something for you.
What?
One,
two,
free. Merry Christmas.
Well, I suppose we both gave us the same thing, a tie.
I didn't get you no necktie.
You didn't? What's in here?
How about your pair of spats?
Spats.
Spats? What did you get me spats for?
Well, let's face it, Ralph, you're not the easiest guy in the world to shop for, you know. It's pretty tough to get a guy something that, well, a guy that's got everything.
Well,
Merry Christmas, Ralph.
Merry Christmas, Norman. Anyway, I know it came from your heart.
No, it didn't. It came from the fat man's shop.
Never mind.
Ah, the you hell's know, a pair of spats? What is that?
That spats is fits over your socks and over your shoes when you dress formal. It's kind of like a cummerbund for your ankles.
I've seen those before. Who sees that? I almost think I see Fred Astaire and stuff.
I've seen. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but here's the and this was they based that show on an O. Henry story. The O. Henry story where somebody gives up part of themselves to get something for the other person.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And the other person. So what happens is he gets rid of his bowling ball, sells the bowling ball to get something that his wife wanted. She gave up something to get him a bowling ball bag.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was based on an O. Henry story. Now, somebody will text in or call in and say, yeah, here's the story. I remember that one. It's such an awkward, if you thought that was an awkward moment.
Yeah.
Then when the two of them get together at the end and do that exchange, not only is it awkward, but it is loving.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it's a touching episode. Yeah. It was, you know, here's what's funny about this episode. It's the only episode that the cast comes out on the screen at the end of the show. Jackie Gleason, because they did this in New York at the Sheridan, and they aired it live, or they recorded it live, or whatever it was, on Christmas Eve. And when the curtain started to close, Jackie put his hand out and told the cameras to continue to roll. And he opened the curtains back up with his hand and invited everybody out to take a bow and wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
And jumping back to the Dick Van Dyke Show, they kind of did the same thing there, too.
Yeah, they sang the Dick Van Dyke
The whole
Dyke
show
theme.
Was the Alan Brady show.
Show within a show.
A show within a show. And then they at the end, they all started singing the song, the theme song. And
humming
they
it or whatever,
out,
yeah, yeah.
They brought out the crew and everyone on stage, and it was really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Andy Griffiths, the other one, 773, it was almost like a Scrooge story. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but I only saw it recently. It was Ben Weaver. He was a store owner, and he was just ticked off about a local moonshiner and wanted him in jail. And when the whole family came in to the jail to bring him Christmas dinner, he was ticked off that this guy wasn't suffering enough.
Yeah.
But it was a great little story, too. And then, there's a couple more we'll talk about. 312-981-7200. If you've got a Christmas episode, TV episode you'd like to share with us, again, you can text it, you can call in, whatever you're comfortable with.
Well, my sakes. What's your name?
Cindy Brady.
My, but you are a pretty little girl. What toy would you like to have Santa bring you?
Oh, I don't want any toys.
No toys? Well, you must want something for Christmas.
I do. I want my mommy to get her voice back.
Your mommy's voice back?
Mommy's got laryngitis real bad.
Well, that is a shame.
And she has to sing at church on Christmas.
Well, Cindy, I don't think I can...
Oh, please, Santa. It's all I want for Christmas.
Well, you certainly are a sweet, unselfish little girl. I'm sure your mommy will get her voice back.
Oh, thank you, Santa.
What are you so excited about, sweetie, huh?
Santa's gonna give Mommy your voice back for Christmas.
He's what?
He promised Mommy can sing on Christmas morning.
Oh, honey, how could he do that? He's not a doctor.
He's better than a doctor. He's Santa Claus.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air
There's nothing as like the Brady Kids. You know, they used to record albums. Like the Partridge Family had a Christmas album, but the Brady Bunch had a Christmas album. It was just more opportunity to make some money. It's Dave Player on 720 WGN. We're talking about favorite holiday TV-themed episodes. That, of course, was the Brady Bunch. Let's see here. 3012 of my favorites, the Odd Couple episode where they do their version of A Christmas Carol, and the Happy Days episode where Fonzie ends up spending Christmas Eve with the Cunninghams. As I believe he was spending it alone. Here's a little clip from Happy Days.
Hey, Dad, can we have anybody over for tonight?
Now, look, I thought we had that all settled. We decided that this Christmas Eve was going to be strictly for the family. We're going to have fun.
Hey, Fonz, since I didn't get you anything, how about coming to my home for Christmas turkey?
I got plans. Yeah, what are you doing, Fonz? Oh. Well, I'm going up to, Waukesha.
Waukesha?
Yeah. Yeah. I got a regular thing on Christmas time. My cousin lives up there. A big house. The spread they put out for Christmas. Lots of presents. Big family. Big house. Lights. Big tree. Works. Oh, yeah. I'm not much for family, you know, but I figure once a year I can take it.
I'm leaving tonight on the 4 o'clock bus.
Hey, Mr. C, thanks a lot.
For what?
I know you're hip to a Waukesha.
Well, to tell you the truth, Fonzie, it was Richie who figured it out.
Oh, there you go. So there was a little Happy Days episode, which was one of my favorites, too. I remember that, and they actually played it almost every year. They would do a flashback and play the same episode for like 10 years. Yeah. All in the Family. Oh, here's another one. Dave from Monroe. Wisconsin says, Cheers, Christmas. It's his favorite. I believe one of them is when Sam was looking for a gift for Rebecca, and he found this beautiful girl, and then he thought Rebecca was inviting him over for dinner, like a little intimate dinner, and then found out that she invited everybody over.
Right.
Right. Of course. And then let's see here.
Wasn't there a WKRP in Cincinnati when everyone ends up over at Jennifer's place bringing something.
Oh, God, I don't remember that one. Thanksgiving stands out so well for me for WKRP.
Unless that was the Thanks. No, there was it was a Christmas one.
Was it a Christmas one?
Everyone says, oh, we've got plans with this and that and everything. And something that Jennifer says, no, I've got this or something. And then everyone just starts showing up at her place bringing over holiday stuff, and they decorate the event. I vaguely remember that one.
Rich from Glendale Heights says the Honeymooners, which we just did, which is pretty cool. Let's see here. The Simpsons, everyone's mentioning here to me, a bunch of people are mentioning that it was the first episode of The Simpsons was a Christmas episode.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. After it was off, it was on the Tracy Ullman show first.
And right.
It became, the first episode was Christmas. I just keep losing this. I know it's really interesting hearing me do that on the air.
That's we're very laid back.
All in the Family Christmas. Oh, here's a little clip from Archie and it wasn't George Jefferson. It was like his brother or his brother-in-law.
Over
before Sherman Hemsley joined the show. Let's take a listen.
But while we're on the subject of looks, you're going to play Santa Claus. You know, Santa Claus was white and so was his beard.
Told you to say that, Uncle Henry.
That's ridiculous. I'd look silly with a white beard. And who said Santa Claus was white?
Oh, come on now. I had the same argument with you about Jesus. I hate to go over old ground again, but the fact is Jesus is white and so is Santa Claus.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something, Bunker. When I was a kid on Christmas Eve, the guy that used to fill my stocking was black.
Classic.
Yeah.
Absolute classic. Yeah. Got another one here let me see here. I'm looking at text, folks, so please bear with me. I'm trying to do this while I'm going through all my notes. Saved by the Bell. A homeless girl Zach meets in the mall.
Really?
Yeah. Ben?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, okay. All right.
That's in Ben's wheelhouse.
No, one of my favorites is a MASH episode.
Oh, yeah, Dear Dad. There was a few of them where he wrote it was Dear Dad, Dear Sis, but the original one was he was dressed up at Santa with the kids, and didn't they have to drop him to...
Yeah, he had to drop from the helicopter and to save a guy in the Santa suit.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep, yep, yep. I remember that. And they did a couple of those like that, I think, where he was writing a letter to somebody, and that's what came out of it was a little Christmas story. Taxi, Family Times, Bewitched, Father Knows Best. That's Rich from Glendale Heights on that one, too. I've got one that is really, really funny, and it's really rare. People won't exactly remember this one, but they played it last year on Antenna TV. But this was at a time on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson that both Johnny, Ed, and Doc were all divorced at the same time. Like, I think it was rare. I think it was always like Johnny would be divorced and then Ed would get remarried. Like, they were never single at the same time, but when they would raise hell together. Like, Ed and Johnny used to spend actually a lot of time together in the early days. And I think between them at this time in the early 70s, maybe, they had five divorces between them already.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I think it was one, two. It was Johnny had, it might have been three, and then Ed was divorced once, and Doc was divorced once. So this is their version of a 12 Days of Christmas and how their wives took everything from them. Let's take a listen.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love took from me the big house behind the pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love took from me two swimming pools and the house in the hills of Beverly. On the third day of Christmas, my true love took from me three French maids, two swimming pools, and the condo in Waikiki. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love took from me four bedroom sets, three French maids, two swimming pools, and the penthouse in NYC. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love took from me five wedding rings, four bedroom sets, three French maids, two swimming pools, and the brownstone in Washington, D.C. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love took from me six sequin jackets, five wedding rings, four bedroom sets, three French maids, two swimming pools, and the timeshare in Bimini. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love took from me seven chauffeured limos, six sequin jackets, five wedding rings, four bedroom sets, three French maids, two swimming pools, and the ranch in the Napa Valley. On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love took from me the eight cup Melita, seven chauffeured limos, six sequin jackets, five wedding rings, four bedroom sets, three French maids, two swimming pools, and the yacht in the Florida Keys. On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love took from me nine tents of Starcher, eight cup Melita, seven chauffeured limo, six sequin jackets, five wedding rings, four bedroom sets, three French maids, two swimming pools, and the beach house and new jacuzzi. On the tenth day of Christmas, my true love took from me ten Zamfir albums, nine tenths of stars, eight cup Alita, seven chauffeured limos, six sequin jackets, five wedding rings, four bedroom sets, three French maids, two swimming pools, and the place in the south of Italy. On the 11th day of Christmas, my
this is my favorite.
Me, 11 times of Alpo. Ten Zamfir albums, nine tenths of stars, eight cup Alita, seven chauffeured limos, six sequin jackets, five wedding rings, four bedroom sets, three French maids, two swimming pools, and the villa on the Champs-Élysées.
He lost a lot of real estate in this, I think.
On the day of Christmas, my true love took from me 12 checks a yearly, 11 tons of albums, 10 Zamfir albums, 9 tenths of stars, 8 cup Melita, 7 chauffeured limos, 6 sequin jackets, 5 wedding rings, four bedroom sets, three French maids, two swimming pools, everything but the Christmas tree.
That was fantastic.
It was.
Very well done.
I wonder how blasted they were when they did that.
It was definitely pre-recorded during the show, but yeah, very funny. I've got a few more. WKRP says, when Jennifer tried to downplay what she was really doing for Christmas, flying off to Bethlehem with an elderly admiral or something, Johnny's line was, now that's a down-home Christmas. So that's
your
story.
And that's the episode, I think, where they all eventually ended up back at her place, I think. Yeah.
847, The Waltons, the homecoming episode, Tom and Palantine.
And again, that was the movie of the week.
Yeah.
That led into the series.
Everybody
cried like crazy.
No, but everybody was the regular. All the kids were there and grandma. But I think grandpa was Charles, Edgar Bergen was the grandpa.
Oh, Will Gere grandfather?
Nope. And the parents weren't the same parents. No.
Oh, okay.
708, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Will promises boys to men for Nikki's baptism and sneaks into a radio station to ask them.
Oh, yeah.
Here is a Family Guy, and it's just a small segment.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
It was a promotion for his Christmas album. Take a listen.
Sessions presents A Peter Griffin Christmas, featuring such standards as...
Everybody look at the snow in the yard.
And who could forget...
I brought these gifts for you. They're up in my bum.
And everyone's favorite.
La 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 la, la 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 la. Look at the bells, look at the bells. Holy crap, here comes Jesus. And he doesn't look too happy. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Did you snort? I can't believe, yes, I did. Because I know that episode, and I cannot believe that you played.
Oh, it's fantastic! Yeah, you got. If you know the show, you got it, folks. You got to know that.
Oh my God!
That's what you hear. I love that. I love that. All right, much more serious now. This is from 312, the Twilight Zone episode called "Night of the Meek," and it was an episode where Art Carney played a role in this. He played Santa. He was kind of a drunk, down and out Santa, and he was talking about really the true meaning of Christmas. A little more serious note for him playing this role. Mm-hmm. And it was at a time too where CBS was trying to cut back on the expense of Twilight Zone because it was very expensive to produce, and they were doing Kinescope, like almost doing like a live version of the Twilight Zone. It was actually terrible. They did like, I think, I don't know if it was a full season, but it was a bunch of them, and they were just really tough to watch. But it's a great episode. Let's take a listen.
But as for my insubordination, I was not rude to that woman. Someone should remind her that Christmas is more than barging up and down department store aisles and pushing people out of the way.
Now, he was a department store
Someone
Santa.
Someone has to tell her that Christmas is another thing finer than that. Richer. Finer. Truer, and it should come with patience and love, charity, compassion. That's what I would have told her if you'd give me the chance.
There you go. Seinfeld Festivus, of course. Well, let's play a little of that. Festivus for the rest of us.
I don't really celebrate Christmas. I celebrate Festivus.
Feminist.
Festivus.
Festivus.
Feminist.
Festivus.
It's nothing. It's a stupid holiday my father invented. It doesn't exist.
Happy Festivus, Georgie.
I haven't celebrated Festivus in years. What is your interest?
What? Just tell me everything, huh?
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
There you go, a little Festivus for the rest of us. Here is my ultimate favorite, and I know you've got one you want to share, too. Yeah. This one is Curb Your Enthusiasm, when Larry David ate the baby Jesus cookies that his wife's family made. Let's take a listen. This is when they discover that he ate the cookies.
Oh, gosh.
He thought it was a monkey.
What? What happened?
happened to the cookies?
What?
The cookies!
The cookies from... What, from last night?
Larry's Jewish,
yeah.
By the way.
What, I ate them!
What? You ate them? They were for the manger scene! Larry, you ate the baby Jesus and his mother Mary!
I thought they were animal cookies!
Animal cookies?
Animals.
Animals.
Oh,
are you kidding?
What? Jesus Christ is not an animal, all right?
I thought he was a monkey!
No. A monkey?
Oh, please!
Larry,
the Son of God was a monkey?
We worked all day on those cookies.
I'm sorry.
You didn't see the hay, the toasted coconut was hay, the barn.
I thought that was all part of the zoo.
Why do we have a zoo on Christmas Day?
Okay,
Okay, you know what? I'll make it up to you.
You're going to make it up to us, Larry, okay? You just swallowed our Lord and Savior.
It's great. I love that episode. Love Crazy. That episode. There was a Mary Tyler Moore, too, that 414 mentioned up in Milwaukee here. Christmas and the Hard Luck Kid. That's when Mary spent her first Christmas in Minnesota, and she was going to go home, and Lou Grant, Ed Asner, said, you're not going home. You're the new kid. You're working tonight. You're working Christmas Eve.
Oh,
no, you're working Christmas Day.
Yeah.
We're a newsroom. We're open 24/7. You know, somebody has to do it here, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true. We are 24/7.
Even though around the Christmas time, we play for 24 hours pre-recorded content from
well,
everybody.
We're still
for Christmas.
Here. The newsroom,
the newsroom is still operating, and our engineers are here.
Because we're keeping our eyes on the world.
Absolutely.
You have to.
Got
to
do it.
Yeah.
You have a dramatic episode of The West Wing.
Yeah.
Explain this to me, because I've never seen it. You played it last year, but tell the folks about this episode.
I'll try to tell it without crying, because that's what this episode does to me at the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. So there are many intertwined stories, but the basic one is that Toby, who is one of the president's top advisors, has donated a very heavy coat to a charity.
Mm-hmm.
And stuck within the coat pockets was his business card. He didn't mean to leave it there. But, you know, when you clean stuff out of clothing and you donate it, you sometimes miss something.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, a police officer comes to the White House and contacts Toby because they got his business card. The coat had been taken by a homeless Vietnam veteran who had passed away. And Toby felt that he should, because he had been in the military also, that the homeless man should not die and unforgotten. So he goes about using resources in the White House and finds that he's got a brother, finds the brother who is also homeless, and then uses his pull in the White House to put together a military burial for the man's brother, the dead homeless person, without telling anyone, including the president. The president's secretary, her two sons had served in Vietnam, and she was very anti-Vietnam. She was very angry about what they had gone through.
Mm-hmm.
So this is juxtaposed with choirs within the White House singing Christmas carols.
All right.
And so this is, I will stop this prior to the military gun salute in the cemetery, because we don't want to be shooting off guns on
All right.
there. So this is towards the very end when he has to face the president and let him know what's going on. Here we go.
Good morning, Toby.
Good morning, Mrs. Lunningham.
The president would like to see you.
I know.
Did you use his name to arrange a military funeral for a homeless veteran?
Yes.
You shouldn't have done that, Toby.
I know.
You absolutely should not have done that.
I know.
The president's in the mural room.
Thank you.
I just mentioned.
No.
Christmas shopping on your own at a bookstore?
Deal with it.
I'll be right back.
Merry Christmas,
Mr. President.
Merry Christmas, Nancy.
Merry Christmas, Nancy.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you, sir.
Apparently I've arranged for an honor guard for somebody.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
No, no, just tell me, is there anything else I've arranged for? We're still in NATO, right?
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
A homeless man died last night, a Korean War veteran who was wearing a coat I gave to the Goodwill. It had my card in it.
Toby, you're not responsible.
Took an hour and 20 minutes for the ambulance to get there. A Lance Corporal, United States Marine Corps, 2nd of the 7th. I got better treatment at Panmunjom.
Toby, if we start pulling strings like this, you don't think every homeless veteran will come out of the woodwork?
I can only hope, sir.
When is this thing?
I'm going to pick up his brother and go there now.
Mr. President? Sir, your absence in the other room is conspicuous.
Okay.
Toby. Come along.
The rest of the scenes are of the honor guard and the people at the service.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, everybody has a favorite and something, a tradition that they love watching every year. And sometimes it's comedy, sometimes it's drama. That was a pretty impactful moment on that show. I've got 847, Walton's Christmas. I think there was actually some Christmas episodes of the Waltons on top of that. Homecoming episode. 773 says, John Belushi on SNL trying to lead Christmas carols, but only knows a few words of each song. Which I'm sure
there was another one much later on, several years later. They had Frankenstein, Tonto, and remember that one?
Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman.
Spectacular. I miss Phil Hartman, man. Yeah. I mean, oh, such a talent.